Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're grateful again on this, can you believe it, April 5th, 2022. Another year has come, and guess what? We're in the fourth month of that year. Grateful, albeit. And we're happy that you can join us tonight. Tonight, we're going to do another open mic session. Looking for a caller to call, and we may give him a call from the studio. But it's open mic. He said he had some things he wanted to talk about. You've heard him before, Mr. Josh Horton, who's been on with us before. But I'd like to encourage you to give us a call here. With open mic, it provides an opportunity for you, our listening audience, to share your ideas. I realize there's a lot going on. There's a whole lot going on across the country. Here locally in Nashville and our target cities. We began this show 6 years ago, and we were targeting 10 cities, basically, with a national discussion about the issues that confront at-risk youth and the challenges that their families face in terms of addressing their social and emotional needs. And so it brings us here today, and we broaden the discussion, and we encourage you to join us here if you're a first-time listener. If you've been listening to us, you follow us on live stream on Facebook, feel free to just give us a call, 657-383-0944. That is the number to call, 657-383-0944. If you listen to the show after the fact, feel free to post your question or comment in the Facebook thread there, and when we can. Don't get to it every day, quite honestly, but when we can, we will respond accordingly. All right. Again, it's open mic, so we open the phone lines. You are listening audience, and I don't have a specific topic nor a specified monologue of discussion, but we'll be happy to engage you in your question and comments, and don't have all the answers. However, we'll strive to answer them as intelligently as possible. And what we don't know, what we don't have today, certainly we can research and get back with you to the very best of our ability here. All right? And so that being said, give us a call here, 657-383-0944. One thing as you do that, and I'm going to make a call here to invite a guest that I promised to give him a call. I want to talk about one thing in Chicago. The mayor there, Mayor Lightfoot, was asked essentially about the carjacking. I understand that it's reported that 67% of the carjacking is taking place in the Chicago area. We'll use that as a case study tonight. And that's not slam Chicago, that's my city of birth. But this is a case study for our discussion. It's reported that they're called by juveniles, people that are under the age of 18, that are carjacking people. And they found some of the culprits are as young as 10 and 11. Her response was, the problem is children are not loved. Not like, if y'all don't mind, I'd love to engage in that conversation with you. All right, I think we have him on. Mr. Horton, Joshua Horton.
Yes, I am.
How are you, sir? Doing pretty good. Couched it, And I just wonder if you think that that is the drive behind young people taking the bad and negative, destructive initiatives to rob others and cause mayhem in their neighborhoods where they live. We're joined by Selma, Alabama today. We're grateful to have you. Brother Don, how you doing, sir?
Doing all right.
Good, good, good. Don is open mic, so I'm going to yield the floor to other conversation. Josh is on. He was getting the stuff together. We'll come back to him in a minute. How's everything going in Selma?
It's going good, Mr. Dark. How's everything in Nashville?
Oh, it's about the same, about the same, about the same. We still got, I opened up the open mic dialogue, Don, talking about how the mayor in Chicago attributed the significant rise in carjacking by juveniles, people that are under 18 years old and as young as 10, 11, to the fact that they're not loved. She suggested that's why they're doing it, because they're not loved. What do you think about that, Don?
Oh, well, Mr. Darker, let me go back to it. So you hit a good topic tonight. After my father ran for Congress, Chuck Mobley ran for state rep there on the Republican ticket over there on the west side, and we got some legislative books. When we got those legislative books, the police came and tore up the bar. What was in the books, Mr. Dockery, was Mr. Bullock, Larry Bullock, passed the foreign banking bill. At that time, there was a bank, like a Japanese bank on the west side. They was on, okay. And what I got out of it with the Nissan there in Nashville, you laundered that money from them babies up there. And you went down and bailed. Because Chuck, I remember Chuck coming back and said that when he went downtown and had a meeting with him, he was state rep. He said, man, don't you know they Klan? That's what he said. He said they Ku Klux Klan. So Nissan's bill where? Smyrna. Okay. So to say this, Mr. Dockery, and guess what? I try to go get work there. So they watch what you do, north to south. I'm going to say again, though, baby, it's what she's saying might be true, because the legislators that we got, guess what? They don't love the babies. And I'm going to give you an incident that happened. This Jubilee, my daughter, which is my – I got a baby son by her mother, but before I got my son, she had two twin daughters. Well, one of the twin daughters was hanging out with State Senators Hank Sanders' wife, Rose Sanders. So this Jubilee, I walks in the living room and looked in the dining room, and I seen Alicia. I said, Alicia, how did you do in law school? She said, oh, I didn't finish. The school wasn't accredited. Well, hold on. You around Rose Sanders, Hank Sanders' wife, who was a lawyer, who got a law degree. Why she didn't tell you the school wasn't accredited? Because those folks in those political positions are self-centered individuals. They only care just about them families and themselves.
Interesting. Interesting. So it sounds like what I'm hearing you suggest, Don, is that the children don't really have any strong example. And this seems like to be a running trend. Is that what you're saying? That there's no real
what
example?
I see with those Negro, Black, and colors in the Democratic Party, they full of crap. I'm going to be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? I got to be honest with you, Mr. I got to put the, like you said, put the rubber where the road is. Like
all,
down here at the Jubilee this year, like at the Jubilee this year, and around, Terry Sewell, she said her mentor is John Lewis. Well, John Lewis didn't call the march from Selma to Montgomery.
Okay.
John Lewis was one of the lead marchers in the march after they had a flip at Brown Chapel, but he didn't call it. James Bevel called the march.
Okay.
And if Terry Sewell was in front of me right now, I said, I ain't never seen John Lewis not respect my dad's position or what he did.
I see.
You can go back and get the film and see what he said at my dad's funeral.
Okay.
So we got individuals that's in the Democratic Party, all right? They self-centered, stealing people. That's just what they is. Like this year, Jubilee, to me it was an insult to me that Rose Sanders had Jesse down here. That's an insult to me.
Because of who
my father is.
I get what you're saying. But let's do this.
Disrespect on protocol. They don't respect no protocol.
I get you. Let me broaden it out a little bit, Don, to people who maybe not know anything about those dynamics you're describing, okay? And to people who right now in 2022 want to know where to find leadership. If it's true that the babies lack example, they lack instruction, they lack guidance, right? They lack truth and honesty. Then the question becomes, where do we turn for that? Let me turn to Josh there in Murfreesboro. Josh, you want to respond to that, my friend? You got done on with trauma, Josh.
Well, there will always be
Some prison time for making a false report.
Okay.
Then when they talk about Emmett Till, they say that the white woman that lied, that he didn't whistle at her. Well, you want her in jail, but you don't want Jussie Smollett in jail. I don't understand it. I'm confused. Can you help me or can somebody help me out?
I can't help you with that one, but that is a very interesting thing too, that you point out, and some interesting data that you cite in reference to the cases and what have you. But let me do this. Let me go to 3072 out of Jacksonville, Florida. I saw a post of yours, 3072, where you highlighted the young man from Chicago who I think he was it 30 different acceptance letters to college? A large amount of money for scholarships.
Yeah, $1 million for his scholarship.
Yeah, that he was offered all total. That's a very positive thing. So we don't want to overshadow that with just the bad, but we begin that conversation. Would you like to question a comment on that before we move further into our show tonight?
No, I'll just continue to listen on, but I think there's hope always, you know.
Yeah, hope is springing. So Joshua made an interesting point where he talked about you got to look at the whole picture, that whole picture. But then let me dovetail back to you, Brother Don, out of Selma there. So
I'm going to tell Brother Josh right now today, Brother Josh, the whole picture. Let me put you the whole picture. There ain't one African-American bank in Selma. And Dallas County's 95% of African American. So Rose and Jesse was not here. Now what they put on ABC and NBC and CBS, you've been tricked. Jesse didn't do the right to vote movement. He wasn't part of the March on Washington. He wasn't part of the Birmingham movement. My father didn't put him on payroll in Chicago. So you young generation get it right now. See, whoever you fought, it's your fault. See, when I was in Chicago, all my elders around there told me who Jesse was. Not just my dad. Walcott Hill told me.
All right.
So okay, they told me, they said, now that's hot. Now if you go over and touch that, you're going to get burned.
Yeah.
So I didn't listen to nothing he had to say. I went and did what I needed to do. And guess what I did today? I'm going to tell Brother Josh. You know what I did today, Brother Josh? I went, just left Liberty Bank talking to Miss Parks and gave her the new lady that's the academic dean at Selma University, her card. Ain't one minister down here did that. I did that today because I'm with the Moore's Divine National Movement. And I told the sister today at the bank, they are not educating our children. Guess what I seen this past weekend? My brother James that was, you know, on the police force here, he done got off the police force. He's over in Montgomery working. So he took me to his daughter's basketball game here at Wallace Community College. His daughter hits the floor with her hand on her hips. Now, who taught her to hit the basketball floor with our hands on our hips?
Live alone.
I'm an uncle, 62 years old. You supposed to have your hands out, ready to play.
Well, this
so who's teaching our children? And guess what my father used to say? And I agree with him now. These teachers just want some money. They in Greek fraternities. They got cliques, and all they want is money. They don't want to educate our children. Okay. They are not dedicated. They looking for the money.
That's not everybody, surely, you know.
I
see what's saying, though. I take your point. You're speaking from a personal experience, and we're listening to you. But I don't know that it's fair to paint everybody with that broad brush, because I think you would agree that you hadn't met every teacher, and there are some teachers who are making a significant difference. Obviously, somebody did some with this young man to get all that scholarship offers and offers to college. So everybody, all is not lost, Don. I hear what you're saying, that from your perspective, some things are looking kind of
really, they are not dedicated no more, Mr. Dockery. Just look at the generation before me that was in African-American high school. Bucknell could frame a house, a whole complete house in a day. They came from Hampton High School. They didn't come from Charlotte. They didn't come from Dixon County.
All right.
They didn't have no air gun. They had hammers.
Consider this. I happen to know that there are a lot of very talented, committed teachers who work for public school systems that if they had their way, they would do things differently, but they do work for the school system. All they want to do is teach. They want to inspire young minds. They want to lift them up. They want to prepare them to become productive citizens. But you know, there are a lot of things that are beyond their control, Don. I'd like for you to consider that, at least anyway. But they, if they could,
well, Mr.
Man,
Dockery, I think it's time to put the rubber to the road then.
Okay.
Go for all teachers. Then how is a 95% African-American community in Selma, Alabama, home where the right to vote? Matter of fact, my dad and Dr. King got to fight in 65. My
Uh-oh.
Dad said, he told Dr. King, he said, guess what? I don't agree with Scope. I don't agree with you getting a $500,000 playing a political game with Jose Williams.
I see.
He didn't agree to that. He agreed to political economics. And we are at that road now. I got a son right here in R.B. Hudson. Matter of fact, the fire chief changed the name. It was called Chad. He put the name R.B. Hudson. I'm glad he did, because R.B. Hudson was on the board of Alabama Pennies and Savings. So let's put the road where the map is. How many dark-skinned children in the United States know anything about banking? The gold exchange, any of that. Come on,
it's
now. I want to know all possible. I say, I want y'all to help me out with it. I'm
okay,
six.
Done.
I went to an integrated school. Tell me where y'all educated our children in that.
All right. Okay, Don, hold 1 second. I think Josh was trying to respond. I can't give you a definite number of how many know about banking, Don, but I can't tell you who don't know it either. So we can't rule out that there are individuals who have been exposed to that. But I take your point. Let's see what Josh is saying. What are you saying, Josh?
I was just saying that I know a lot about that, and it's not fair, but we have to live with the reality and face the facts.
Okay, and what are the facts, Josh? What do you see the facts as being? You said live with the reality, face that. What are they?
Good scholarships, good right now, they are not even
okay. I'll be right back with you, okay? I'll be right back with you. Take a minute to, you were saying something interesting and collect your thought. I want to go to, Pastor Wallace joined us, but I want to go to the idea that the expectation that somebody should teach the young people. Now, who is it that should be teaching them? They have parents, right? Shouldn't the parents see to their proper education, or who is it that should instill those values in them that would drive their greater learning, you know, in the sciences and things of that nature? I know St. Louis talk often about focus and attention on those young people who, you know, display skill and talents, build them up, encourage them, and that sort of thing. That's a good, that's an argument to that. I think that's a doable argument. But at the same time, then that population who struggle, and I'll go back to the earlier the statement that the mayor made, is because they're not loved. I'm not sure I agree with that totally, but I'm just curious. What do you think about that? What do you think about that notion that children act out and they're behaving violently oftentimes and destructively because they're not loved? You think that's a, that's going to fly? Do you think that'll work? 37-2. Can you hear me, Jacksonville? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
I'm sorry. Yes, now I can.
Did you hear my question?
No, not at all.
Okay. I was asking very briefly what you think about the comment that children are committing violent acts, such as carjacking with weapons, because they're not loved. Do you think that's a plausible explanation? What's your thought on that? Did you hear me this time?
I mean, the underlying condition is obviously there's not enough love being shown to them to teach them that that's not a good thing, or, you know, a way out or a solution for whatever problems or issues they're having. I would agree with that. But I think the biggest issue or the part is parenting, a lack of.
Well, who's supposed to love them, to keep guns out of their hands and to keep them in school and to stop them from, to dissuade them from being, to engage in those activities? Who is it that?
I mean, sad to say, who is supposed to love them first should be the people that brought them here in the world, to me. I mean, it's just my opinion.
All right. Well, now that was a counter argument there, and I'm not beating up on you, but we're having a national discussion. There's a counter argument there. More and more, you're seeing moves that isolate parents from dialogue and discussion and decision making in halls of government, particularly in school settings and in settings of legislative bodies where laws and policies are being made. It seems as if they're being pushed away from the table. But yet now when their children are explosive and out of control, then you point back and say, well, it's your fault. You should have took care of them. What do you think about that?
Well, what I think about that is, I mean, I'm a parent, and nobody's going to push me away from any table to where my children were or are concerned, especially if they're going to be under my roof. So to me, it's one thing if they not living with me and they doing all this. And another thing, if they are under my roof, I mean, you can't go out and rob a bank and shoot and kill somebody and come back and lay down and go to sleep in a bedroom in my house.
What?
Okay. And no damn government or anybody else, a school board or nothing else, is going to tell me that that's okay. If that's how it has to be, then they should take them over. I mean, and that would be a sad situation in itself, but I just feel like I'd need to put the oil where my squeak is, and that would be my squeak. And I need to start earlier rather than later on with them.
I see. Interesting. What do you think about that, Pastor Wilder? Welcome to the discussion here. Any thought on that?
I mean, yeah, it's always good to know that a person can be trained up, or the teacher should be able to allow a person who is a student, you know, to live and to study and learn. That's without a doubt. And bringing them up under your shelter, as 37-2 was saying, I mean, that should be the first, and most of the time, it is the first who bring them up. But there's that trap that I talk about, so I would say constantly, that kids have to go out to play. And when they go out to play, the parents are not getting ready to sit right there and watch their every move most of the time, because they want kids to go outside to play, and all they need to do is, when it's time to come in, hear that call. When 37-2 voice go out, it's time to come in. That's what they're supposed to do. Come on in. But in the meantime, while they was out there assembled amongst one another, they doing kids' type things. And sometimes they talk about things and they realize, like just not long ago, I mean, I would be putting it out there very soon, this little kid was at the basketball camp just on yesterday. Mm-hmm. And he's 11 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked with him and I shared some things with him before we got ready to go into the playing the ball. And about the same thing that you were talking about now, I asked him, what do you think about it? Kids his age out there indulging. Have you ever seen them do anything like that? And a couple of them said, yes, they have seen it. I said, well, how do you feel about that? And the kid said, well, I was actually just wondering about it. You know, were you just waiting on your time so you can try it? He said, no, I didn't really want to try it, but I just was. And I'm going to let you all see that. You see, I was wondering. See, that's that land, that wondering land. You know, they go through things like that. And if you become interested enough, they just may try it. But if you can step in at a time and cause that not to take place, it'd be beautiful. And sometimes they do get caught up. So it's just that I got caught up.
And that's what I was trying to stress, the importance of not waiting till sooner than later. I'm seeing this a lot nowadays. You know, people are just sending their kids out and entrusting everybody but themselves with them. And that was something, you know, I'm not a PhD holder or anything like that, that I just did not believe in. Because who know my children better than me? I get them up. I put them to bed. I bathe them. I feed them. I talk to them. So there was a lot of times where I ran a lot of my children's friends away.
What?
Because I was too much in the business. Yeah, you want to play with him? Come on in. I got dinner not just for him, but for you too. Let's talk about y'all's day. What did you do at school today? Oh, yeah. So that's, to me, how it needs to be. And what they say about the devil, he's going to come in at your highest moments. It could be at a child's life, an adult's life.
Wow.
When they see something good, and there's nothing wrong with them wanting good too, but they haven't been exposed to good. So what they going to do, expose them to bad, what they know.
Okay.
So maybe that's an opportunity for us parents to maybe help rear somebody else's child. We just can't be just entrusting our most prized possession, which is our children, with any and everybody.
Yes, sir, Don. Go ahead, Don. Go ahead.
She hitting the nail. That's what I was talking about a while ago with LaLisha.
Okay.
Her mama can't see that. This younger generation of women can't see that. Why would you just let your child go? Just like here in Selma, they just built a Catholic gym on Broad, but behind it there was an old YMCA gym. So why did you build a Catholic gym there? And why would you send your children over when you don't hear the record of that?
Okay.
Just like she said, why you ain't watching, why you don't love your children? And listen, Ms. Doc, I'm going to be the first one. Since I'm Reverend Bevel's oldest son, I got a son up there in Harvey, Stephen, all right? Now, guess what? He seen me on the phone, cut it off, all right? So, hey, I can't make him come here and learn what he need to learn. You know what I'm saying? He get an attitude, then, hey.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Well,
I love him, but if he get whooped up there, he just get whooped.
Yeah.
He have a chance to come here right here with his father.
I get you. And I don't know, Don, that we're really wanting to, we're taking this opportunity to beat up on or blame them, but we're talking
anybody,
about
what's
missing. You know what I mean? And this notion that somehow everybody in Chicago or in St. Louis or in Jacksonville, Florida, or in Selma, Alabama, or in Murfreesboro or Nashville are responsible for my children, that just don't sound right on its face, because
not
they
to me.
I did. You see what I mean?
Right.
And the question is, if I'm short on knowledge on how to properly rear them, where do I go to get that information? See what I mean?
And then I'm going to say, excuse me, Mr. Doc, I'm going to say this too. Tell your friend that a guy from Murfreesboro just came down here about 2 days ago, and I met him at the bottom of the bridge, and we talked.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Good deal. All right. Yeah. Well, let me St. Louis, you want to weigh in on that, brother? The discussion there?
Well, as I said before, a lot of excuses come forward to why things are not happening.
Okay.
And one should look back at how things were when they was going somewhat right.
Mm-hmm.
That was when you had family. See, there's a tried, proved, and tested way of being a successful citizen in the world, no matter where ethnic group you're from and no matter where you are.
Okay.
And when you study very hard and look at those telltale signs, it always starts with a family.
Okay.
Strong family.
I would say this, though. I agree with you, and I would say this because today there's a lot of misinformation and confusion about what constitutes a family. You understand what I mean? And so it spills into an argument. You know what I mean? And people will even say, well, everybody can't have it. Everybody don't have two parents at home. And everybody didn't have this or that and the other. But to your point, which I agree with 100%, St. Louis, there are some tried and proven methodologies that are based in the function of a family that brings out success in children. It may not be that they'll be a doctor or a lawyer.
Right.
It may be a successful business owner or a hairdresser or whatever.
Right.
But because there were certain rudimentary things that developed their character first, it prepared them for whatever their special gift was in the world, you know, beginning where they live. We get somebody's feedback. Everybody can take note to what's going on in the background. Appreciate it there. Interesting. Very interesting. Let me go to Josh here. Josh, you filling up to us there now, sir?
There's something.
Okay, you're back. Okay, go ahead. Did you want to comment, Josh, right quickly?
Yeah. You can have just one family member.
Okay.
You can have a bunch of family members.
Okay.
Or you can not have any. But it's on your turn, really. Really, because when we go to heaven or hell, it is gonna be
Okay.
Nothing.
Okay.
We can get everything, or we can get nothing.
Okay. All right. I take that point. Guys, we've talked about this. It's open mic, 657-383-0944, Facebook. Thank you for joining us there. If you would like to chime in the discussion, post your question or comment, and we'll strive to share that in the next 45 minutes we have here. And we're on with Selma, Alabama, with St. Louis, representing Jacksonville, Florida, our co-host, Pastor Wiley, in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Brother Josh there. And we've just been talking open. Is there anything, any other topic of discussion anyone have that you'd like to get in before our time expires tonight? It's open mic.
Yeah, Mr. Dockery, you was talking about family.
Yes,
biological
sir.
Family might not really be family. You know,
what do you mean
you know, I'm in the Morris Divine National Movement, so, you know, the Bevels, they ain't what they in. You know what I'm saying? But I'm Bevel Eel, so I had to move on You know, if the devils don't come to being ill or bay, I had to move on to my spiritual family. You know,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, family that you think is family might not be family. Same way on my mama's side with the Tallies, the Hollingworths, the Bales down there in Dixon County. You know, they my kinfolks, but they might not be where I'm at spiritually. I love them.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of ideology, you're saying, or social identity, or practice, theological belief, you're saying that people can differ. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right.
And you have to move on.
Don, I'm reminded of a certain text that says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he becomes old, he won't depart from it. Pastor Waller, help me wrap my mind around what that might mean in 2022. What that means, guys, if you train him up in the way, when he get old, he won't depart. Help me with that, Pastor, and then we'll go around the table here.
Well, you know, what I like to say, Pastor Doctor, out in the real world, you know, there is a real world.
Mm-hmm.
And you have all kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, training up a child in the way they should go has been done by many great parents.
Okay.
And that's without a doubt.
Right.
But just because they trained them up does not mean they're not going to venture out. Give you a good example. Give you a good example. I'm gonna go according to the scripture, not because of my opinion. Even though I got captured and I had great parents, whether they were two women or just one.
I get you.
They were still both great parents.
I see. Mm-hmm.
I still got captured.
Right.
All right. Now, the scripture did say that the enemy comes to seek who he may devour. That's what the scripture says.
Mm-hmm.
And he had plenty of games.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked on a lot of people. Now, there's a scripture that talks about some things that a man that went off into the world, even though he was brought up real well.
Okay.
Way up his family. Way up his family.
Right.
He was ready to go out into the world. He went to his father and wanted his piece of change, man. And got to a point that he didn't want to wait till he passed.
I see what you're saying.
He wanted it right now. He had something.
I want it
something
now.
To him. He wanted, and he got it.
Right.
And he got it.
Okay.
And he went out and ended up getting in a lot of things, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And left him for what they would call broken busted. Now, that's what the scripture said. I didn't say that.
But that sounds like
he was brought up real well. He was brought up real well, I'm sure, because he didn't have to work for anything.
Okay.
You know, and that's understandable. But even some people who are well off still want to venture out and go find out what happened to God, you know.
And it happens, man.
And that's what happened out in the real world. So that didn't take nothing from his training because he was able to double back.
There you go.
And his parents was waiting on it. You know what I mean?
There you go.
I don't know how many days, nights, and what kept the parents up, you know, how
Watch
long
out,
it took for him to get back. But one thing I do know is that just as soon as the parents spot him from a distance, there go my child. I trained him up.
Right.
Now he's back. That's what that means. You know,
he won't
depart from it. When I say he still came back. So that's just the bottom line. It happens.
Okay. Okay, I agree with that, Pastor.
Me too.
That was his test. But watch this. What if his parents didn't tell him that when
you get
out there and you get broken, busted, you come back home? What if nobody told him that you got a home? Then he would have been
Go ahead.
72 trying to jump on
that. I was going to say that I agree with Pastor. But, two, I think we're taking it all in a literal sense. Just think about our lives in general. Nobody can say that they just did everything perfect and the exact way that their parents taught them when they got old enough, like you said, to know I'm grown. I'm 20 doggone one. Yeah, you're going to venture. You're going to try things. But guess what you're going to remember when you fall on your behind? That teaching, that training, and what's right. And you will venture back because that's been instilled. At least that's your breadcrumbs to get back to safety.
And
that's right. So they couldn't put the man down who trained it. The man didn't say he said I could do it. He trained him.
That's right.
You know,
in fact,
he wasn't gonna put no rope around his neck and say he ain't going nowhere unless I be out there watching you. He didn't do the man the boy like that. So that's what I'm talking about. See, in the real world, you got to be genuinely real with yourself.
That's right.
Out there to talk about what one won't do. Yeah, might not do anything.
That's right.
Sit up there talking like you know every move they make. You up there lying to yourself, according to what I just learned.
No, you don't. You don't.
Yeah,
that's right.
He didn't want for nothing. The man, the family was wealthy.
Right.
Had a whole lot of money.
Okay.
But yet, look what happened to him.
Well, so Pastor, how do you know when a student has mastered instruction? With the test, right? It's with the test, right? That's how you measure whether or not someone has mastered instruction they receive when they're tested. So no one is suggesting that even in life, as you venture out, you won't be tested or tried. The problem seems to be, you all, that too many babies have never been properly, as Don said, and Joshua, instructed in the first place, right? So they get way out there. They get way out there and don't have a clue why they out there a little long, which way to turn to come back home. Where's home?
Mr. Dockery.
Go ahead, Don.
Mr. Dockery.
I'm coming to you, St. Louis. Come back here. Go ahead, Don.
Okay, we got two of Reverend James Bevel's children here. Two of them.
Okay.
My brother came in Sunday, and guess what he said?
What did he say?
Mr. Doc, he's divorcing his lawyer wife now. Do you know why he's divorcing her?
No, I don't. Sorry to hear that. Why
I'm
going to
tell you what he's divorcing about. Liberalism.
Well,
he don't want to be around because she's too liberal. Then, listen to this, Mr. Doc. You know what else he said? He came back to one of his baby's mother, and he thought he might want to talk to her. He get here, and he said, Don, I can't live with her. I said, why, James? House is dirty. Then, number two, Don, they go to the gambling casino here in Selma.
Okay.
And guess what I said to him, his big brother? Listen, hold on, Mr. Doctor. What happened to me today? I met a sister today at the washer. I didn't misuse, abuse her. Guess what she wanted to go?
Where?
To the gambling casino. That's all these sisters been trained in Selma since 1965. They put all these gambling casinos around. Why? I'm going to say again. They don't want them to learn banking. They want them to gamble.
Okay.
It ain't the girl's fault.
I think I see where you're coming from, brother. I take that point. Let me see where St. Louis is, Don. Let me see where St. Louis, what are we going to say, big brother?
Well, they got a dirty house. The women got dirty feet. But
say what?
You know, I challenge you to go watch on YouTube a documentary called Most Dangerous Ways to School. Nicaragua, Kenya, Russia, Ethiopia, Bolivia, Peru. And look at what these kids are doing to get to school. Nicaraguan kid, this one, he's three sisters. One is 11, and the youngest one is about 3 or 4.
Okay.
They get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. They do work around the house. Got to be at school at 8. Then they walk across fields that's infested with snakes. Go through the forest to get to a dugout canoe that they have moored the day before. They get in the canoe and one of them pushes it out into the water. The littlest one is bailing water out of the canoe because it's got holes in it. And they work their way through the mangoes where it's like a swamp. Snakes hanging out the trees. Spiders hanging out the trees. These kids. Then they work their way out to the river, a Russian river. And they paddle while the little one is still bailing water out. The one in the front and the one in the back. And they paddle their way for 2 hours on that river to where they got to land and go to school.
Okay.
You got girls from Kenya, 11 years old, that walks 12 miles to go to school. They love to have some meat, but all they got is beans and things of that for lunch. They have to walk across the savannah with wild buffalo and lions, and one thing they're afraid of is the elephants.
Mm.
These kids in the United States has got it good, especially black ones.
Mm-hmm.
If they got to get on the bus and ride two blocks to school, they got good food to eat, warm, air conditioned, books.
Interesting.
Even in Russia, where the kids go to school, if the temperature get down lower than 54 degrees below zero, they don't go to school.
Okay.
They go into school when the temperature is 54 degrees. They can't stand out there no longer than 15 minutes. They got to wait on the bus because they start freezing.
I see.
Now, I'm going to ask you something.
Okay, go ahead.
If Jesus was to come back, he ain't coming back to America.
Well,
he's going to where these people are. These people are humble and they're striving. And the kids want to be doctors, want to be engineers.
I see. Let me respond to your question. From what I read, the text says that he's coming back for a people. In the text said church, that's what it's translated as meaning, a people that's without spot nor wrinkle or any such thing. In other words, these are people who have matured and strive to be right in their thought and action. So I think it's a misnomer that everybody is just going to get to go up there and take their garbage to the kingdom.
That's well, I'll tell you one thing.
Yes,
it shows the kids in the Himalayas, too.
Okay. One second.
They live 12,000 feet above sea level.
Uh-huh.
Up there, they don't have no Christian religion.
Okay.
They got the traditional religion.
I guess.
And these kids go through all kinds of treacherous paths to get to school also.
Okay.
Why is it that these kids in these countries, see, if the parents didn't teach them how to maneuver and navigate, one mistake would be fatal.
I see what you're saying. I think the
Hey, look, there's another one there, I think it's in Peru, where the kids ride a cable from one side of the gorge to the other.
Okay.
You know how far they would fall if they were to fall out of there?
Mm.
Over 600 feet.
Wow, that's pretty dangerous. Okay.
Yes,
well,
it is.
It's a different set of challenges, and I agree with you that when you try to compare them to what's going on in urban America, you're going to get a far different response, a different viewpoint of it. But I think your point is well taken that in every situation, there's some sort of challenge. You know, the question is, how prepared are you for those challenges? I think that's my takeaway largely from what you're saying. And when the right teaching is there, right example and instruction, one can fare well even in the face of challenge. That's what I take from it there. So I appreciate that. Let me see what Josh was trying to say. So Josh, you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you up too?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll come back to you if you need me to.
Had five days. And I might be having another one of surgery on my brain.
Okay, we understand.
And I think two tests.
Okay.
And God is a gracious God. You know that?
Yes, he is. He is mighty, gracious God.
All right. Goodness, God. Yes, sir.
Mighty man. Well, Josh, I want you to reserve your energy. Stay on with us, but reserve your energy. I don't want you to push yourself too much. And we're looking forward for that test to come out good this coming Friday. And you're right, God is gracious. He's just, and he's yet able. So, but stay on with us, Josh. Stay on with us and follow us for the rest of the few minutes there. I appreciate that, man. See, that's what I'm saying right there. There's some young people, Don, Pastor Walla, who take their energy and they take the opportunity in front of them for granted, man. You know what I mean? And don't even realize.
Right
that,
here.
Yeah. Yeah, they take it for granted.
Right.
And yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so I appreciate you, Josh. I appreciate you being a light, little brother. I appreciate you. Standing in the gap.
I appreciate Josh showing up, man. He's evident. He's a witness.
Yes, sir.
How good God is. And he let it be known, man. Right here. You don't have to leave nowhere. He's evidence on his line right now. Josh is evidence.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we got about 28 minutes. We've been talking a lot in general about family and about society and about guidance and training and what have you. This is April 5th, 2022. 54 years ago, that was the second day of rioting done all across the nation because people were angry, particularly African Americans. Negroes were angry about the death of Dr. King. In retrospect, Don, how much has changed 54 years later?
Mr. Dockery, you know, all I'm going to say is, you know, if they want to know what really happened in Dr. King's situation, order the kills out, books is out, you
okay.
can sit down and read the case, you know what I'm saying? And matter of fact,
yeah.
you guarded James O'Reilly. I heard your testimony. I read
mm-hmm.
some of William Pepper, some of Dick Gregory. Heard my dad. He was there. Heard some of his testimony.
Sure.
You know, I know what happened in that dynamic.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
But,
if you really want to know. And guess
yeah,
what,
but,
man? And I had the pleasure this year. I'm going to tell y'all something. This was really amazing. Curtis Williams is the county commissioner, and his son, Kurt Jr., got me and carried me behind the stage over to where the vice president was and
mm-hmm.
Reverend Jackson and was there. But when I get inside the gate and the Secret Service checked me and everything, I looked over at the tractor-trailer truck. This guy was leaning back. And I looked over there and looked at him, and I said, ow! He looked up at me, and he looked at me. He said, who are you? I said, I'm Bevel's son. And he said, oh, yeah. I said, I'm the oldest boy. He said, oh, yeah. And so Al Sampson was there. Al Sampson was ordained by Dr. King.
Okay.
See?
Okay.
So to say this, if you're looking for the truth is right there in front of your face.
Interesting.
You know what I'm saying? Some people want to follow an illusion. You know, they can follow illusion. They can follow Kamala Harris. They can follow Jesse Jackson. That's their right if they
okay.
want to follow illusion. But
okay.
Al Sampson was sitting right there. He said, look, and I looked. And then he looked at me and said, you know, Mr. Farrakhan helped me out over at Fernwood at my church. You see what I'm saying? And I just listened. You know what I'm saying? So if
sure.
you want to follow illusion, that's your right. You can have a right to follow illusion. I don't have a right to follow no illusion. You know what I'm saying? That's my right. You know,
yeah.
so I don't bother okay. people, man. You know, God bless me, show me pure reality, and I'm thanking for it.
Yeah.
Why do you think so many people do
Take your time there, Josh. I think you're going to ask, why do so many people do the things they do? Is that right, Josh? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, let's go around the panel, Josh. Let's go around the panel and see if they can help us with that. What do you think about that, 72? I was going to ask you, will you answer his question in the context, too, of how much has changed 54 years later, 3072? And why do you think people do what they do now?
Well, I think I'll answer the first part. I think people do what they do out of, you know, desperate times.
Hmm.
You know, maybe they don't know anything else to do.
Hmm.
And how much has changed 54 years later? It's a tremendous change, but that change could go in good and bad ways.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. All right. What about that, Don? You just answered it. St. Louis, have you seen any productive change since 1968, 54 years later? And
absolutely. I've seen the change.
Okay. Share with us.
I look at myself. I'm a lot handsomer than I was back then.
Watch out, man. Watch out. I'm going to take that one, St. Louis. I'm going to take that from you. Okay. Anything else other than yourself? Your handsome.
That's one of the best parts right there.
Okay. What about it, Pastor Waller? You've been around, man. I know you've had your own struggle in life. How much can you see in 2022 any productive, proactive progress, Pastor Waller, since, you know, them days back?
Yeah, change is good. You know, change is very good, and it happens, you know, in time for some. Some get there sooner than others. So
yeah.
The bottom line, what's so good about it, it's just that you have to have some people who change, who have compassion. I'll give you a good example. When Jesus said, you know, to this man who the enemy was trying to sift him as wheat, you know, Jesus even told him, he said, I prayed for you that when you have been converted, when you have changed, he said, go strengthen your brother. In other words, you know, compassion. Compassion takes place right there. So yes, you know, I see that it's, you know, in my come up, there's been a lot of people that have changed. You know, as a result of being captured, and now they have escaped and they're free now. So it's just like, it's a good thing. You know, as I said, you know, it takes a little while, and some, as I said, who got it now, they have compassion for others who don't, and maybe they will get it and pass it on, and all of a sudden, you know, this city right here can be restored. So, and it can go abroad. It can reach out. And that's where I'm at with it. So I think it's a really good thing. Hope is still alive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because the enemy was not playing. And I love the part where the scripture says that it's only a few that's out there in the field going to do the work. So it's not no shocking to me, you know, that I'm so shocked. Like, nobody's out there concerned. Nobody's, you know, concerned about hurting people. I'm not shocked about that because the scripture said, you know, the harvest is big, it's large, but the laborers are few. So that means there's a lot of weight on those who have compassion, but those who don't have no compassion, they're going to talk much stuff, brother. But one thing they're not going to have, compassion is one of them that that's out. Forget that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about, you know, selfishness, you know, self-centeredness is what I call it, because the scripture says, consider yourself being in a situation like that. So if I'm not able to look at it that way, then I might as well just shut down and don't say nothing. I'm talking about me now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I'm just going over what the scripture says, and I hadn't always known that. But I always had a heart for people, even when I was in my insanity. So it's nothing new to me to be concerned about people, man.
Okay.
It's nothing new.
You know, I'll say this, guys. The media does a very poor job of highlighting 3072 incidents like the young people that are going on to college that are earning thousands of dollars in scholarships that are hitting goals that they set for themselves. We don't hear about that, right? And unless concerned people become their platform and tell others. And St. Louis, I have to echo something you always say, and that is there are very proactive examples of successful people, young people. If we tap into that a little bit and we share that knowledge,
share that
to others, but it's going to take adults in the room to do that. See what I'm saying? Because 54 years ago, when you look at some of the images done, the pictures, you had a lot of people who were despondent, who had fear and anger in their eyes. Today, yes, we see some, but what we don't see enough of are those who are bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and they're doing great things. We don't hear nothing about that. We don't hear much about it. And perhaps what I have to do and others is to make sure we provide platforms and venues to highlight those productive things that are being done. And things are better, I believe, and certainly there are more opportunities. There's certainly more opportunities than what they were 54 years ago. I wonder, I'll be honest with you, though, I wonder if Dr. King, if Thurgood Marshall, if Mega Everts and Brother Malcolm were here, if they'll say, man, somebody slipped up, Don. They look around.
And Mr. Darkley, some of these things that we see in our community, it was designed. It was by design.
Yeah. I call it the ghetto trap syndrome. Yes, sir. That's what I call it design. GTS, ghetto trap syndrome. Yes, sir. Yes, sociological design, engineered for self-destruction.
Yes, sir.
Well, and I think it just hits back to the point that you made, Pastor Dockery, about years ago, that's all we saw was fondants and nobody sharing the good news, as Pastor Waller would say often, the good news, you know, about hope, about compassion, about, hey, we can make it. We can rise to a higher level. So today, that's what I was saying, a good change and a bad change. Today we're kind of overshadowing and being overcast by all the negative things that's going on, you know, within the urban community, more so than showing, like we saw that wonderful young man that got all those scholarships awarded to him.
Right.
So that's just leading other young people to think that, see, you can't make it. You got to rob. You got to try to steal some drugs. You got to. No, you don't have to. You just have to apply yourself and move beyond, you know, that.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Nothing in life is going to come without some sort of sacrifice or struggle.
Right.
Nothing good.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing good. But the good news is, Josh, when you've worked for it and you've earned it, you don't even have to look over your shoulder and wonder if anybody is going to come get it.
In fact,
if Don get too close to me over my shoulder, I'm going to be protected. Hold up. Get back, Don. Get them elbows, Don. Get back, man. I didn't work for this, Don. So you have a right to be protected. And I think that's the problem to walk away with. St. Louis, you're going to say something?
I'm going to tell you something. You don't know how blessed you are.
Yeah.
Be in the United States. You look at these people around the world. They got shoes that's made out of old tires.
Wow.
Shoes made out of old tires.
Mm-hmm.
And they go on about their business.
Okay.
So you're blessed.
Okay.
And if you don't make good of it, you know, I told you before, I believe a large segment of black population is cursed. For whatever in the past history of their bloodlines. And them curses are true. They got voodoo. They got Hanks. You nail horseshoes above the door.
What?
You walk through the house burning sage and pinning garlic on the wall.
What you been off into, St. Louis? Wait a minute, man. Hold up, man. What you doing? Okay.
And the woman, when she cut her hair, she burn it. She don't leave it laying out on the floor.
Because
I don't want nobody to make a doll and start sticking pins in it. And she wake up in the middle of the night hurting.
Okay. Well,
now you know that's true.
Well,
you know the old people said that. Yes, they did.
Sure, I've heard a lot of myths.
There's some truth to that.
I'm listening to you.
Especially in Africa.
Okay. Some of them.
My wife told me that. I said, these people that y'all sent away, what's they say? It's generational curses.
Mm.
And the only way you come out of that, you got to find somebody that can lift it up off of you.
I see.
You don't try everything. I hear you talking. I hear people talking about it all the time. They don't try. And you got some old people. What do they say? I don't try everything. I don't know what to do.
Okay. let me offer this for your consideration, Samuel.
But what you talking about?
Hold on, Josh. Let me offer this for your consideration. Everybody in general, not just you, St. Louis. Malachi 4:6 says, until the hearts of the fathers return to the children and the hearts of the children return to the father, I'll smite the earth with a curse. The good news is when we get fathers back in homes and the lives of children as their primary voices of authority, we can get rid of the curse. That's the answer right there. That's
well, the Bible also said, cursed be Cana.
Okay. All right.
The Bible said, cursed be Cana.
Cana?
Because you looked upon your nakedness of your father, grandfather. You gestured with your teeth.
Okay.
You're going to be cursed. Cursed. That's what the Bible says.
Well, here's the good news. They called him a propitiator. They came down through 40 and two generations, came from nothing to nobody's to be an example how anybody can be somebody. That's good news right there. Now, I don't care what nobody says.
Especially the one that wasn't cursed.
Yeah.
I have some too.
Watch out, Josh. Watch out, Josh. disobedience. That's true. The good news is that we don't have to live forever on the curse, because I'll tell you of one who paid the cost, even though he ain't done nothing wrong. See, hung, bled, and died, and some people tried to get rid of him, Pastor Wallace. They tried to make him go away, try to make him disappear. He went down, but he came back. He came right back up. When he got up, he was blazing with power. And all power was there. I ain't come to preach, but I kind of felt my health right there. Yeah, let's do this. We got 10 minutes. Let's go around with a final thought. Josh, I'm gonna save you for last before I get to Pastor Waller, because I'm gonna ask Pastor Waller to do me a big favor and offer the powerful prayer, Pastor, for my little brother when he go in there do his test there. So let's do this. Let's start with you, 3072. Give me a final thought. Thank you for joining us tonight. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. Let's just remember that there is hope, and we can always turn things around.
Wow. I'm going to hold on to that. That's good news right there. Don, what about it? Thank you, 3072. Don, give me a final word.
I was listening to St. Louis, and I ain't going to say, I say our people have been misinformed. You know, like I said, when I took that banking course and I found that Lincoln passed that National Banking Act, there is hope that our people can rise up to economic and have their own business You know, there is hope for it, but you have to, you just like chopping, like you chopping the raw at the back. You want to get the crabgrass out, you got to clean it out.
Okay, it's work to be done. Huh? That what you're saying?
Yeah, you got to work it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. Don, I appreciate you, my brother. Thanks for joining me tonight. All right, St. Louis, give me a final thought right quick, and then we're going to wish Josh well there.
I'm going to put some Mississippi River water in my bath.
Okay, help yourself. Help yourself.
That's what I'm going to do.
All right, I hope you feel good when you come out of it. I hope you feel good.
All right, I'll see you guys.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you doing this then. All right, Pastor Wall, I'm going to ask you to close us out particularly. And Josh, I'm going to let you have the floor. And then when you get through, we're going to ask Pastor Wall to offer a prayer of strength, prayer of victory, and deliverance. The devil is a cockeyed liar, and he can't win. He can't win. All right, Josh, give us the final thought, then, and then we'll snowball to Pastor Wall, okay?
God is good. He's so good that he doesn't know how good he is. He doesn't know the power of his goodness. So he's so good that it says that we don't know how good he is to us.
All right.
I just want to say thank you, Lord.
All right, sir. All right, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
We're going. Pastor Wallace is going to offer us a prayer of hope, Josh, and inspiration here. So you just hold tight right there. Just hold tight. Pastor Wally, you with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, all right. If you don't mind, if you will, close us out with your final thought and a prayer of hope for Brother Josh there as he goes and sees the doctors and take care of business there this week.
Yeah, I just want to thank God for everybody that with a sincere heart that had to do with the message and the questions and the whole concept of what broadcast stands for, and that is to encourage one another.
Yes, sir.
And so I just want to just do what I was asked to do concerning the prayer, because that is power in prayer.
Yes, sir.
Joshua has proven that he praised God even in the midst of his difficulties, and he said that God is good, and he's been so good to the point where personal relationship with him. So the scripture says, in everything, give thanks. And that's what Josh is proving to us right now. And so I want to pray that you request this prayer, Pastor Doctor. And the word does say, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Lord God, I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. That name that is above every name. We take time out right now to say thank you. Lord, I ask you on behalf of Brother Josh and the things that he had to deal with when he had to go see the doctor. Lord God, I ask you to do what the doctor... Lord God, also I ask you to go before them and lead and guide and direct the pathway. And Brother Josh, if you see anything that would cause hurt, harm, or danger to him, I ask you to step in and move it right now. And only you can do, Lord God. Because
yes,
you not only is the doctor, you are the great physician. And you can do anything except fail. Also, I want to thank you, Lord God, for all the positive things that have been said on this broadcast tonight. I ask you to touch everyone one by one, as well as collectively. And then it is you in your word that said if a person is not speaking your word sincerely, then they're just wasting their time.
Mm.
So I ask you, Lord God, because you said time, you must know. I ask you to receive this prayer. Shape up everything that Brother Josh stands in need of. And in a respectable time, send it back down to him and let him know that you are the heart fixer and a mind regulator.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we just want to say thank you. These are the blessings we ask in your son Jesus' name. And let the people of God say amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. All right. All right. With that, Josh, we're going to, and the rest of the panel there, we thank you. We're going to leave with what the mighty clouds of joy said. They said that if Jesus can't fix it, nobody can. I like that. I like that. I like that. Let's leave. We'll see y'all next week for another episode of Talk Faith.
And you help me.